I made a very bad decision, and I rushed into a relationship that turned into a marriage while I was still recovering from a bad marriage.
What do you do when you've made a bad decision and you know it? How do you recover? You can. We know spiritually that God is with you and He'll be with you and sustain you, but how do you handle it yourself? What are things that you need to take into consideration when you come to recovering or trying to recover from a bad decision? Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. Welcome to the show today. And we have our calls all lined up. This is from our Intentional Living Archives. So we want to thank the callers who we had a chance to talk to before for today's show. And just before we get into the topic today on how to recover from bad decisions, I just want to say on behalf of our entire team, for Stephen, myself, our entire Intentional Living team, thank you to those of you who prayed for us and got involved in the last week or so with your generous support, because we're listener supported. I want to thank you for your calls, for your support, for joining us. And if you say, hey, I missed out, we were gone or we didn't have a chance to listen, I want to remind you that you're welcome to come and be a part of this Intentional Living community, where this month we're doing something very special for all of our new members, those who are joining us in monthly support. And it's the Intentional Word Chronological Bible is our gift. And so you can check that out at our website at theintentionallife.com. You know, we're going to get back to Nisi's call a little bit later in the show, but we have a few other calls first. And if you just joined us, the question today is, how did you recover from a bad decision in your life, marriage or otherwise? How did you recover? If you have a comment you'd like to leave, you're welcome to do so right now. Give us a call at 888-888-1717, and that number's back to our studio now where you can leave your story or your comment. And we'd love to hear what you've done, what God has done in your life, and how you recovered from those bad decisions. So I hope you take a moment and give us a call.
My name is Ray Mullen, pastor of Apache Junction. My testimony is a little wild and crazy. I accepted the Lord when I was 19, had a run-in with the pastor about 7 months later, and walked away from the Lord for 30 years, going to prison, all kinds of things that the Lord had planned for my life. At 48 years old, the Lord called me to a 30-day walk that started in downtown Mesa, Arizona, and ended in Billerica, Massachusetts. After my walk, I finally realized the part missing in my life was I never knew who I was in Christ Jesus. Finding that link has turned my life around. And I was 48 at the time, and I am now pushing 60 in September. And I have a wonderful small church with a bunch of young guys that are really sold out for Jesus. I just praise God for all He's done in my life, and I live every minute of every day for the Lord now.
Wow, I got stuck right there in that walk all the way from Mesa to Arizona to Massachusetts. How long did he say that took? Now, you talk about being intentional. That gave you a lot of time to think. You know, today we're thinking about decisions, and you know, you just heard the testimony of a guy who said, hey, made a bunch of bad ones, ended up in jail. God got a hold of my life. Look where you are now. Here's the good news. I don't care how deep the pit is that you're in. I don't care how many bad decisions you've made up to this moment, this hour, in the past. Yeah, there are consequences, but you know what? You can change the direction. You can choose to change the direction of your life. But you got to be intentional. If you continue doing what you've done in the past and assuming it's going to be different in the future, that doesn't work. Making that next right one choice in your life. Carla is in Georgia. Welcome to the program, Carla.
Good morning. Afternoon.
Appreciate your call. What have you learned about decisions in your life?
Well, I have definitely made too many bad decisions concerning myself and especially my children. And, of course, we all try to correct those decisions and make them better, knowing it's not going to work. A month ago, I was diagnosed with a rare gallbladder cancer, 3% chance of ever getting it, 3% survival rate.
Oh.
And today, well, I looked my doctor in the eyes and I told her that that's not what my God says. My God says that this is His victory and I will be cured. But he has laid so much on my heart since then, and one thing that he is just pounding into me is every day you get up. Not only do you get up, you believe. And not only do you believe, you speak it into existence. Mm. Every day, get up, believe, speak it into existence.
You know, so many of
and
us...
That's what,
you know, the,
that's what you have to do.
And Carl, I'm so sorry about the diagnosis, but boy, encouraged by your faith and trusting God, what he certainly is capable of doing in your life. But you're absolutely right. Getting up every day. And I talk about speaking the truth. You know, the Bible says whatever is true and right and admirable and praiseworthy and of good report, that we should be thinking on those things, and I believe speaking those things as well. I totally agree. We tend to become what we think about or what we speak over an extended period of time. And it's not so much to manipulate or change God's mind because we want to submit to his will. But you know what? Sometimes as we speak, we realize that our faith is growing because we're speaking the truth. And so if you've made some decisions in the past that have been bad, today to get up and tell yourself the truth, just like Carla's doing. In her case, boy, the motivation even greater because of the physical challenges. Okay, Carla, thank you for taking time to call today. I appreciate it. God bless. Let's go to Nisi, also in Georgia. Welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you?
Good. I'm doing well. How about you? What have you learned about dealing with bad decisions?
I made a very bad decision, and I rushed into a relationship that turned into a marriage while I was still recovering from a bad marriage.
Mm.
And I learned that I have to give time. I have to take time to pray and listen, but mostly to wait and be patient.
Mm-hmm.
My marriage wrecked my credit, and I was left brokenhearted and financially bereft. And I learned a lot to rely more on God and myself instead of looking for other people to make me happy. And that's what I would like for people to know, especially young people, to know that they have to find their way with God.
Yeah, it's not in another person. So you really were responding to making that decision out of neediness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had to have somebody else to make me whole. And I relied on somebody who wasn't responsible. And I was fairly responsible, but I allowed myself to be caught up in the moment and make risky decisions. And that left me alone eventually because rushing into it, I didn't know him well enough to devote my life to him.
Mm.
And then when that ended, it was very lonely. So I turned back to God, and I sought solace, and he met every need that I have. He saved both of my children. My son became a youth minister, and then a youth pastor. He is a pastor now. My daughter and I both teach Sunday school now. They're both grown now and have children of their own, and they're very involved in their church. So I'm thankful that God brought me the patience that I needed to make better decisions.
Good for
and
you.
And saved my family.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you something, Nisi. There's somebody listening, maybe a young woman today, somewhere on the planet, who's tuning in either on the internet through our streaming around the world or on radio stations across the country. There's someone, maybe a woman, who's right where you were, and hopefully and prayerfully heard what you just said. Take time. When you make and I make decisions out of a sense of neediness, 90% of the time they blow up in our face. We got to make decisions when we are confident in our relationship with Christ. We're in a place of peace, not a place of hurry, not a place of rushing, not a place of, you know, that immediacy of having to make a decision. Because usually those are the decisions that are wrong. And I think Nisi reminds us of that today. Nisi, thank you for your call, and God bless you for sharing today.
Thank you, and God bless you all.
Perfect call, because she illustrates that we can make bad decisions and overcome them. And that's really the intentional message today. Have you made a decision and you've overcome it? God has gotten you past it? It could be a financial decision. Maybe you made some stupid decision. You look back and say, how dumb could I have been to do that? It could be anything from a career choice to a relationship to money to health to any number of things. And but God's restored and healed you and moved you in a better direction. Tell America. Tell the world. We'd like to hear it. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717.
Back, I was in a real hard place, and I came to a point where I realized that I was fooling myself, that I wasn't walking the Christian life that I thought I was walking. Got on my face before God, and I told God I wanted to do it His way from now on. First time I did it, it was incredible. I read the Bible, and I got into prayer, and it was like an hour went by, and I'd never prayed for an hour before, and it seemed like I'd only been praying for 5 minutes. It was such an incredible experience, and every day from that point on, I make sure I read the Bible and pray. You know, I just ask God, I want to do it His way from now on, and lead me and guide me. He's been an incredible God. I am a walking, talking testimony that His forgiveness is abounding. God bless you all. Bye.
Hope. Hope. You know, we all need hope. We all need hope. Because life is full of, well, feelings of hopelessness. Decisions that are made in life, and we all make them, and we look back and say, well, how do I overcome it? Some people get stuck. Others, you know, can shake it off and keep moving. There's a guy in the Old Testament. His name is Nehemiah, and this guy, if you read the story in the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, he completely changed the course of his people and his nation. And he did it based on a question that he asked. But it's interesting. He asked the question, and he had to make a decision as a result of the question, what's going on in my homeland? And the answer was, it's pretty bad back there, and the walls are falling down, and the gates have been burned, and the people are in distress. He had to make a decision. Was he going to do something about it or not? And what I like about this guy, in verse 4 of the book of Nehemiah, it says he fasted, and he prayed, and he mourned for his people. Not only for an hour, or a day, or a week, but about 4 months worth of really preparing himself spiritually and emotionally and otherwise before he made the decision to really act, to be clear on what God had for him. So I challenge you, when you're making the big decisions in your life, the ones that are going to alter the course of your life, give it some time, a lot of prayer, maybe some fasting and getting good counsel and letting God really speak to your heart. And if you've made a bad decision, stop digging the hole. That's where it begins. Stop digging. 888-888-1717. You make a bad decision, you've overcome it, or you've at least recovering from it. What have you learned? Zoe's in Michigan. Hi there, Zoe.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the program. Good afternoon
Thank
to you
so
and
much.
Good morning to me. It's still morning time in Tucson.
Okay.
Yeah. What have you learned about decisions, Zoe?
Well, you know, I'm such a loving person, open person, and I love meeting people. And I, you know, I had got my life in a great direction, spiritually, and just really put God first place. And then I met a girlfriend who was just, we had a lot in common, a lot of likes, and, you know, art, things just, you know, in cooking, things just kind of clicked with us, and she did not have God in her life, and she was going to different events and things like that, and I just kind of got caught up in all of that and lost sight of God, and I thought, what? I was at one of the events, and I thought, "What am I doing? What have I done?" And I just let her know, just softly, that, you know, I felt like I needed to step back a little bit, but I was in a really good place, and I really appreciated her friendship, but I was missing something, and I needed to go back to it. And she was very understanding. And it was about 8 months later, I look over, and she was at church.
Wow.
So I believe that, you know, maybe God was testing me in my direction in life, but at the same time, He was testing her to see how open she would be to, you know, where I was in my life to you know, have God in first place in her life.
Well, you know, Zoe, I'll tell you what's exciting about that is that it was a question of influence. She influenced you until you realized, hey, you know, she's a nice person and I like her, but God is number one in my life. And the influence changed from her to you, and now you're influencing her. She obviously was watching your life, watching your decisions, watching your priorities, watching that you're living your life intentionally, and that had to draw her in.
I agree, and it was very overwhelming, and it still is to this day. You know, when people ask us where we met, we look at each other and we just laugh.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, Zoe, appreciate your call.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
By the way, our youngest granddaughter, her name is Zoe too, just like you. So it's a good name. All right. Thank you, Zoe. And ours is Zoe Carlson, and she's our youngest granddaughter. That's just a side note, a little personal thought there. You know, today we're talking about decisions. You know what you're hearing? People saying, hey, made a bad decision, moving on. God is still very much alive. We can recover from this and we keep going. God is a good God. He's a forgiving God. And I hope that you're finding much encouragement. How about you? 888-888-1717. As I was thinking about this from a Christian, for those of us who are followers of Christ, I made this statement: the way that a Christian puts things back into order is to add the energy of the Holy Spirit. That's a spiritual energy, isn't it? And as followers of Christ, when we think about putting energy back into a system, spiritually, we need to make sure that the power of the Holy Spirit is alive in our lives. You know, this month, my teaching has been focusing on something called entropy, which is one of the laws of thermodynamics, which basically says things tend to move from order to disorder. You've seen that in your kid's bedroom, but it happens in life in general. Things don't tend to go from disorder to order, but the other way around. And the only way to put order back into a system, according to the theory, is to put energy back into it, clean up the kid's room or whatever it might be. And so today we're talking about in our lives, the greatest power we're ever going to have is the power of the Holy Spirit as a follower of Jesus Christ. And when he's in our life and we allow him to really be the key in our life and to move us, that energy can make a huge difference. This is a very powerful lesson this month. The title is called Intentional Living Can Save Your Life. I believe that. And we're going to be sending this out by email as we do every month, both audio and video, the teaching. And for new members, those of you who just joined us in the last week or so, you'll be receiving it as well. So Intentional Living Can Save Your Life. Watch for it. If you didn't get a chance to come and be a part of Intentional Living, you can do so today. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And by the way, for all new members, those of you who are joining us to become a part of the Intentional Living team, that dollar a day in support of the ministry will go a long ways. Thank you. We want to send you the Intentional Word Chronological Bible, which is our gift to you as a way of saying thank you for joining us in support. So ask for it when you go to theintentionallife.com. And I look forward to having you be a part of our Intentional Living community. And thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt. This is Intentional Living today, how to recover from bad decisions. Sometimes you feel like you're in a cul-de-sac after a bad decision, going around in circles and can't get back out onto the main road. Well, let me just say you can if you trust God and you stay intentional in the process. But just, you know, to tie into what we're talking about today, maybe you're in that cul-de-sac because of a bad decision that you've made in your life, you know, and you find yourself going around and around and you think about, you know, there was an aha moment in my past. I saw it coming. Someone warned me. My spirit was, you know, prompting me not to go down this path, and I did anyway. Well, don't beat yourself up with guilt. Just be aware of the fact that these aha moments can be very powerful if we take advantage of them. So get out of the cul-de-sac, get back on the main road, and then be aware that the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you in those aha moments. All right, Jerry's in Arizona on the line. Welcome to the program, Jerry.
Hi, thank you.
Appreciate your call. What have you learned about decisions?
Well, 30 years ago, a bad decision that I made was, as many 17-year-olds do, I took my first drink of beer and started smoking some marijuana, too. And 20 years later, I find myself being a full-blown alcoholic and a drug addict. And how I rectified that, thanks to the Lord's help, January 3rd of 2006, I set foot into Celebrate Recovery, which is a Christ-centered 12-step program. And now, I am approaching an 8-year for a full-blown sobriety. Thanks be to the Lord's help.
Good for you.
And, of course, I had to do my part about being intentional about working that program.
So you think it started with that first beer, huh?
I think it started with the first beer.
Yeah. So what do you think when you see young people drinking today?
I pray for them I think they may turn out like I did, and you know, they may not. They may not develop a drinking problem, but the question is, you know, would you want to roll the dice and take that gamble?
It's a great question, Jerry. And you know, I look at our family, in our extended family, we've had addiction and we've had alcohol and alcoholism, and we've had family members that has succumbed to it in terms of their lives. I have to tell you, I frown on it because I see the potential. I don't drink. We don't consume alcohol. And part of the reason for that is, you know, frankly, I think if I ever did, I probably would lean that direction. I'd be concerned, like you say, rolling the dice. And so, you know, but it, like you though, Jerry, you made the decision. The good news is you've overcome it. God's healed you. 8 years sober. I mean, that's a big accomplishment.
Yes, sir.
Well, good for you. I appreciate your call today.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate your ministry.
Thank you, and stay on the course. Do we have time? Can I go to, let's go to Nancy. I only got a minute here, Nancy, but tell me, how have you overcome a decision or a question you have today?
Hi, Dr. Randy. Well, just quickly, a few callers ago, you had a woman named Nisi on, and I did the same exact thing as her. Now I'm in the process of just praying and waiting on God for an answer on what do I do? I am a firm believer of, you know, that I don't believe in divorce, but I married this man, but it's very, very difficult being married to someone you're not yoked with. And you had said something about the first thing you need to do is to stop digging. And I thought, oh, how do I do that? You know, I mean, because I took these vows in front of God. I don't know if I believe in divorce. I don't think I should just divorce a man, or should I? Is that something that because I have thought about it. But I think I just need to just keep praying.
Well, Nancy, here, let me take you a step further. Obviously, you need to be praying. What I mean by stop digging is sometimes we get into a bad decision. You know, I was thinking in terms of like drinking or alcohol or spending too much or any number of things. Stop doing it. If it's a bad decision that's messing up your life, stop digging. I think in your case, yeah, you need to pray, but you also need to get into God's Word. You need to get counseling for yourself to understand really what's going on. Just because a person is unequally yoked with another person is not the reason to get divorced. The Bible is very clear that if you have a person who's not a believer and they want to remain married, then you remain married with them. So we don't get divorced because a person isn't a believer, isn't a Christian. It makes it more complicated, more difficult. And divorce obviously has become ubiquitous almost in our culture. You see it everywhere. And so it's something that we need to, as a Christian community, to really get good counseling. We believe in the power of God to heal relationships. And sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. And I understand divorce occurs. But I'll tell you what, when you're in that position of not knowing what should I do next, this is a time to dig into the Word. This is a time to pray. And this is a time to get good counsel. Because what happens is when we're confused, we tend to make confused decisions. And the second thing is, God is not the author of confusion. period. So it's not coming from him. Okay, I hope that helps, Nancy. Appreciate your call. By the way, let's send Nancy my book, Starved for Affection. I think it'll be helpful for you. Hang on, Nancy. We'll send that to you. Well, when we're on board that beautiful ship to Alaska, I know your wife's going to be with your family, and I get the impression you're going to be out there greeting and meeting people and
enjoying people. That's going to be awesome. It's going to be such a great time, and I really feel like, you know, when somebody says like, your better half or whatever, I mean, that's who I want them to meet, my family. I want them to meet Eli and Zeke and Naomi, my sweet wife Candace, you know. And we'll get to kind of share with folks just on a personal level, you know. And that's something that in what we do with Big Daddy Weave, we don't get a whole lot of opportunity because we're always on to the next place. And it's really neat to kind of get to spend those times over dinner, you know, to spend those times sitting out on the deck, watching the kids swim or whatever, you know. That's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Get a chance to get to know Mike and his wife and family on board, being together. My wife Donna and Art will be there as well, and looking forward to a great week. Yes, we are. Coming up June 12th through 19th, the cruise to Alaska from Intentional Living. This is the time right now to make sure that cabin gets reserved for you, for your spouse. Maybe you're bringing your family or coming with some friends. It's going to be a great week, and it's going to be with others of like faith, those of us a part of the Intentional Living community. We're going to be teaching, and Mike Weaver, Big Daddy Weave, you hear him on the radio. Maybe you enjoy his music, been to one of his concerts. He's going to be leading us in worship during the week, be doing some teaching as well. It's going to be a great week. Again, come and meet Mike and his wife Candace and family, my wife Donna and I, and then of course Evan Carlson and Kelly, the president of the ministry. He'll be there. We're going to be teaching, talking about intentional living, but mostly just enjoying all that God has for us in this beautiful, beautiful week together. Again, if you'd like to get that cabin reserved, this is the time to do it. Just go to theintentionallife.com. And when you're at the website, boy, there's so much there. There's helpful resources and articles and blogs, and you can get access to so much teaching. But you can also take a look at the upcoming cruise and check it out. Call them if you want to get some information directly from those taking the tour information, or you can go ahead and register to get that cabin reserved. Again, go to theintentionallife.com, and when you're there, click on the information. Hey, as we wrap up the show today, I know some of you have been through some bad times and you're in the process of recovering from difficulty. I just want to remind you, as we've talked today, God is with you. He'll be with you. Better days can be ahead for you and your family if you choose to trust Him, and I hope you'll do that. And when you do, that's intentional living.